people who are familiar with the flow of the liturgy know the unique character of these days after Ash Wednesday. There's a little note about this in the Annuan Lay here, introduction to the Ashen Triduum. The uniqueness of it is that the Lenten season has begun already. It began with Ash Wednesday yesterday, but the first week of Lent doesn't start till Sunday. So today is not the first Thursday of Advent or Lent, Thursday of the first week of Lent. Today is the Thursday after Ash Wednesday. So it's as if Lent has begun, but has not begun. We're in this kind of pre-first week stage, which Father Francis, our founder, called the Ashen Triduum, simply because there's no good name for it. The official names are Thursday after Ash Wednesday, Friday after Ash Wednesday, and Saturday after Ash Wednesday. So these 3 days after Ash Wednesday are all connected to Ash Wednesday. And they are well designed by the Church to direct us onto the course of the Lenten journey. Of course, we got launched into this journey yesterday with the reminder that it's time to pray and fast and give alms. But it doesn't sink in just one day, so we're given a little time to get moving. Today's readings are quite clear. The first reading is very clear. What's the choice? The choice is between life and death. Which one do you want? It's about as clear as Moses could make it. Here, this is it. Life or death? Which one do you want? And then he says, well, choose life. Choose life. And that means choosing the Lord, choosing to follow the Lord. In the Gospel, Jesus also speaks very clearly about his journey, his mission. He's going to suffer, die, and rise again on the third day. That's what he's going to do. It's kind of a summary of his whole life in one verse. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again on the third day. Then he says, anyone who wants to follow me has to follow this way. This way of suffering, dying, and rising again. This is the way. Deny yourself, that's the dying part. Take up your cross, that's the dying part. Follow me. And if you do this, you will live. You lose your life, you'll save it. If you don't do it, if you try to preserve yourself, you'll lose it. And what good is that? To save your life, meaning your earthly life or whatever you think of as your possessions, what good is it to save that and then lose yourself or forfeit yourself? What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit himself? So you see the readings here. They're putting the whole journey before us. Life is not a game. We're either moving toward eternal life or we're moving toward eternal condemnation. And every moral decision is a step in one direction or the other. So it's a serious business. Now, even though, as I say, life is not a game, we can learn a lot from games. Games are a part of life, and they teach us a lot about life if we know how to play them, if we know how to learn from them. There was a time, well, it's about 50 years ago now, in the 70s, when the psychologists and educators said that it's bad to have games that children lose because it's bad for their self-image. So they came up with all these activities where there was no real competition and there was no winners and no losers. Everybody got the same prize. Some of you, we lived through this craziness. And so they came up with these activities which were basically communal activities, but there was no real end. There's no champion, there's no loser, and everybody gets the certificate. Well, and maybe there was a point to that in the sense that it is important that children not be devastated by losing, but the problem is it's unreal. It's also boring. Nobody wanted to play those games. The children, after they would get out of school, they go out and play, you know, the old games that people win and lose, and they would try hard to win, and if they lost, they would cry, and just like have people, children have been doing since the beginning of time. The children seem to understand better how games work than adults do. But anyway, it's worth reflecting a little bit on good games. People do win and people do lose, and it's because there's a prize that we strive harder. The best players, the best athletes, the most mature competitors are happy to have good competition because it makes them better. You see these superstar athletes, they appreciate when they're up against somebody who's really good because they play better. And if they win, the championship is even sweeter because they played better than someone who was really good. Now, when it comes to games, they end. The time's up. You know, the clock runs out, or you cross the finish line, or you run out of money, or I mean, there's something that makes the game end, and that makes it necessary to compete well while you've got the time. Maybe you have become aware of this phenomenon of internet gaming. Psychologists have been trying to evaluate the effect of these internet games on people because the young people are getting addicted to this. They'll play games for 10, 12, 15 hours a day. And part of it is there's the excitement of the game, and that's the good part. I mean, we want to do something, we want to get in and compete. But part of the problem is you don't die. The game doesn't end. Or if you do die, you just get back up and play again. You don't get tired. Like if you're playing soccer, at the end of an hour, you're really tired. And if the time runs out, you say, well, I can't play anymore anyway. I'm exhausted. But with the internet games, you're just sitting there. So they don't get tired. And if their character blows up, well, they just start again. And there's no consequences. So it's not like life. It's a little too unreal, and that's why it's dangerous. Okay, now the reason I bring this up about games is because what we learn from good games is that there is a goal, and it's necessary for us to work hard to achieve the goal. It's important to keep in mind what we're doing, and things that distract us from the goal or get in the way of our competitiveness, we have to let go of it. If we get distracted in the middle of the game, we might lose. Now, in when it comes to games and children, there's also a valuable lesson in losing. You know, no one likes to lose. But learning how to lose is also really valuable without crying and trying to fight, beat up your opponent, or pout for the rest of the day and all that. You say, okay, you acknowledge, a good loser acknowledges the winner and realizes, okay, next time I'm gonna learn my lesson from my mistakes or from my inability. Okay, why am I going on about games? Because we learn something about life here. Life is not just endless repetition of activities. We're on a journey, we're in a competition, and we are directed toward an eternal goal. Remember what we did yesterday. Let's not forget the lesson of the ashes. Why does everybody in the world go to Mass on Ash Wednesday? Just countless people show up to get the ashes, because the ashes remind us of what we're really up to here. We have to leave sin behind, we have to repent because we're because sin is interfering with the game here. Sin is leading us out of the competition. And we're reminded by the ashes that time runs out. You are dust, and to dust you will return. We're not going to be here forever. And that's a very good, healthy thing to keep in mind. If the game is going to run out after 45 minutes, you better use your 45 minutes properly, or you're going to lose. So if you're going to return to dust, use the time before you return to dust to make sure that you win the game. I mean, okay, the point is clear, but the reminder to us that we're going to die is not a morbid or sick preoccupation. Clarifies the nature of the game, or the nature of life. Choose life. Now, to choose life, and this is part of the essence of Lent, to choose life means to pray and fast and give alms. It means to love God, it means to love our neighbor, it means to love ourselves with a disciplined love, a self-denying love, so that we can love God and love our neighbor. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. If we want to be his followers, if we want to be on the winning team, we want to join in the victory, we have to do it this way. Take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross every day and follow. We don't have to do that. You know, we can indulge ourselves. We can live for pleasure and live for human approval and live for whatever, fun. But what will we gain from that? What is the end result of that? We lose. Short-term gain, long-term loss. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit himself? Whatever pleasure we get, or whatever possession we get, or whatever affirmation we get, certificates and trophies and worldly honors, when we die, we leave all that behind. So obviously that is not that important. What is important is following Jesus Christ. Love, mercy, love of neighbor, forgiveness, generosity, selflessness, honesty. So this is the Lenten journey, this is the journey of life. The self-denial involved is not a rejection of anything good or rejection of ourselves. The cross involved, even though it's painful and looks terrible at times, is not giving up on the game. It's just part of the hardship of the competition. Following Jesus is not easy, but no game is easy. If it's easy, then you don't win. So the beginning of Lent is telling us, get in the game. Play hard. Compete hard, not because you're against anybody else, but because this is the nature of life. We either choose life and play by the rules, or we don't choose life and we end up wasting our time. And the time is limited. It's only so many minutes in the game. So it's a stark lesson, a very clear lesson, but a very valuable one. And it's good to get that back in our mind as we begin this new season, that we are on a serious journey. Life is not a game. But what we learn from games is that there's a right way to play. There's a right way to compete. And there's a way that really is fruitful. That's the way to go. Cheating doesn't work. Laziness doesn't work. Keeping all the money doesn't work. But following Jesus Christ works. So that's what we do.